This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back in On the Drive, coming up in 15 minutes, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. We'll also play for you Marcus Mariota. He did a phone interview talking about joining the Las Vegas Raiders.
Will you stop pissing off all the people out there in the middle of Kansas? Some guy from Indy, Kansas is upset because his wife's from there. Some guy says, Carrington, I was born in Medora, Kansas, which is a suburb of Hutchinson. He's not from Hutchinson. Hutchinson's a big town. He's from a suburb of Hutchinson. What do you know about Medora?
I don't know anything about it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those places. I'm just saying that I have absolutely no interest in living there. And based on their demographics, the people that are from there don't have any interest in living there, because once they get of age, they can't wait to move to places like Kansas City, Missouri. So no, nothing wrong with Independence, Kansas. I watched both seasons of Last Chance U. I love them both dearly. I would donate money to the school. I just say living there, that's not a place I would go vacation.
I'm not familiar with Medora, Kansas, but I am familiar with Eudora, Kansas. It's on the way to Lawrence, and it looks like a lovely community.
Independence got Neowalla. What else do you need?
They do have Neowalla. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. But earlier today, you were scouring the internet for the power rankings.
Yeah, I was, and I was a little bit surprised what I found. So NFL.com released their power rankings after all the free agent moves that took place, basically in the last 4 or 5 days. And a lot of the top won't surprise you at all. So they got the Chiefs at number one. They got Frisco at number two. They got Baltimore at number three. Wait until I tell you some of the teams that are outside of the top 10. The New England Patriots are outside of the top 10 power ratings. Then I thought about it a little bit more. I'm like, yeah, actually, they don't have a quarterback, so maybe that makes sense. The Houston Texans with Deshaun Watson. Then I thought about it a little bit more. I'm like, oh, yeah, they decided to make a boneheaded move and trade away maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL. Minnesota's outside the top 10. Dallas is outside the top 10. And I guess the biggest surprise, and maybe not to me, but maybe to some of you guys out there listening, is Tampa Bay. I feel like the public, and certainly places like NFL.com, got really excited because all of a sudden you added the greatest quarterback of all time with these weapons in a very winnable division. But they don't even have Tampa Bay in their top 10. I guess it just surprised me a little bit that basically it was all the teams that played in the postseason last year that you would think. So the Chiefs and Frisco and Baltimore and the Saints and Green Bay and Tennessee. But I'm surprised that some of these teams that made moves didn't make enough moves to enter the top 10.
I mean, I'm not really that surprised on it based on the teams that you name. I mean, in the NFL, if you're not getting better, then you're getting worse. And I would say those teams that you say you're shocked by, they've gotten worse. Like the Minnesota Vikings, they've completely retooled their cornerback group. They're a worse team as of now than they were. The Houston Texans, they lost their best offensive weapon that wasn't their quarterback. They're a worse team. The New England Patriots, as of now, I would say that they're a worse team just given the uncertainty at the position right now. Tampa Bay, I'm not sure if Tampa Bay is a better team. I just think they're a different team than they were. So I don't really know how to evaluate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We certainly have time between now and the draft to kind of see what their roster is going to look like. But I think a lot of those teams have pretty clearly gotten worse since the end of the season.
Who do you think is going to be better next season, Tom Brady's new team or Tom Brady's old team?
I mean, the Patriots, I don't really know how much better they can be. They won 12 games and were the 3 seed in the AFC. I'll say Tampa Bay just because I think there's a little bit more room to go up than the Patriots. But I still think the Patriots are going to be a good team next year. If they can get decent quarterback play, I think they win double-digit games next season.
But you say if they can get decent quarterback play, like that's right around the corner. They're playing right now. And I don't know if Bill Belichick's got something up his sleeve. I don't know if he knows something that we don't. I don't know if Deshaun Watson's going to be a starting quarterback. I don't know if it's going to be Cam Newton. But the plan as of right now is to go from the GOAT, the greatest quarterback, probably the greatest football player of all time, to Jared Stidham. That to me just doesn't sound right when I say it out loud, and it certainly doesn't sound like a team that's going to win 12 games next year and push for the postseason. So I hear what you're saying, if they're able to get the quarterback. Were they going to get the quarterback? Because Cam Newton's out there.
Yeah, we say that. I just don't know if they're done yet. Like, I feel like sometimes we do these power rankings, and I understand it. It's content and it's clicks.
Done yet? Just done teams yet? What else do you want them to do?
I mean, Cam Newton's still available. Jameis Winston is still available.
Does that make them better?
I mean, the NFL drafted from their current quarterback situation with Jared Stidham. Yes, I would say that would be an upgrade from the current situation over Jared Stidham. You're not sure if Jameis is better than Jared Stidham?
You're the one that likes Jared Stidham, not me. I'm no fan of either one of those guys.
I don't like Jared Stidham. I think what I like about Jared Stidham is if that's the one that Belichick picks to be the starting quarterback, I think he can be capable. Like, you and I maybe are different from this thing. Like, I don't think Brady's the greatest quarterback as of right now if we're talking about on the field. If we're talking about his legacy and his career, absolutely.
Of course.
But no one thinks that's what Tampa Bay is getting, so I don't really think it's going to be that hard to replace what they had last season. So if you're telling me that Jared Stidham can complete 61% of his passes, that's a higher percentage last year than Tom Brady. If he can throw 25 touchdown passes, that's more touchdown passes than Brady threw last year. If he can have a 6.7 yards per attempt, which would still put you at the bottom three in the NFL, that's still better than Brady was last season. So it's more of, I don't know if Jared Stidham is any good. I just don't think the bar is that high to clear.
Are we now of the impression that Cam's going to end up with one of those two teams? Because if he doesn't end up with one of those two teams, then he's going to be a backup somewhere, and he'll be the best backup in the league. And the problem with being the best backup in the league is you have to be a backup for a good starter. That the only way that you go in is if that guy gets injured, kind of like for Ben Roethlisberger, something like that. Because if you go to be the backup for Jacksonville, or if you go be the backup for the Chicago Bears, well, then there's a quarterback controversy right away. So Cam Newton's in a pretty, I'm going to use a big word here for you, precarious situation right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would say at this point, the quarterback carousel is very quickly about to come to a stop.
Yeah.
And I would say this year, there were just more quarterbacks than there were openings. If you were Cam, I think the only places for you to really start next season are Miami, Jacksonville, the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't really know where else you can start next season. Maybe an injury happens, something changes, a trade. But as of right now, those are the only jobs that I would say are starters. And we're not really sure if Los Angeles is open based on what they've said about Tyrod Taylor. We're not really sure if Jacksonville is open based on them moving on from Nick Foles and having Gardner Minshew. And Miami, who knows what their plan is going to be, a quarterback, but I expect them to draft a quarterback. But as of now, those appear to be the only landing spots and destinations if you're going to be a starter. I think it's just safe to say that we talk about supply and demand. This year, there was a surplus of a supply, and I think the demand has pretty much been met at the quarterback position.
It's just crazy for me to think that a guy in Cam Newton, who was the MVP of the league 5 years ago, who had his team at 15-1 and in the Super Bowl versus Tom Brady, all of a sudden a few years later because of injuries isn't going to get a crack. Like, if you've seen a guy out there try and fail, then be done with them. Marcus Mariota, for example, I've seen enough. He stinks. Baker Mayfield, for example, I know you've said, well, he was good his first year, I want to see more, but I've seen enough to say that guy stinks. I don't understand how a guy like Cam Newton, who's never been bad, whenever he's healthy, he's really good, elite, one of the probably 5, 6, 7 best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's just often injured. Why would you not take a shot on that guy, knowing that if he's healthy, you got a top 10 quarterback, when the alternative is Tyrod Taylor or Jared Stidham? What am I missing here?
I mean, someone is certainly going to take a flyer on Cam Newton. I think the question now is just, who's it going to be? They were never going to be able to trade Cam Newton due to his contract and his physical health. But let's see what happens here over the next 5 days of where Cam's going to land. Again, I think those are the only real chances that Cam has to start. I think he either starts for the Chargers, I think he starts for the Dolphins, or he starts for the Jacksonville Jaguars. All three of those teams make sense. But at this point, we talk about the quarterback carousel. I don't know if there's going to be enough room for Cam and Jameis. One of them, I think, will certainly be in a good situation. I think one of them, and probably Jameis, is going to have to humble himself and sign up for a team knowing that he's going to be a backup quarterback next season.
Would you want him to be a backup here?
No, I don't think they need him.
Obviously, they don't need him, because if Patrick Mahomes is not the starter for a long period of time, we're in big trouble. Whether it's him or whether it's Rich Gannon or Elvis Gerback or Dave Craig, whoever the backup is.
Yeah, but I mean, I would say, I mean, based on the backup quarterback that they just signed, like, why would you now bring Jameis Winston? If you just signed a backup quarterback 2 days ago that's already been in the system and already knows the offense, and given the challenges that are going to pose over this offseason, like, I'm not bringing in a quarterback that doesn't know the system, that can't hit the ground running. Like, I just don't think he's a good fit here in Kansas City. There's certainly going to be a good fit for Jameis Winston. I just don't think he makes any sense in Kansas City.
No, I'm agree with you. It'd be a terrible idea. I was just curious your thoughts, and I don't know how good of a fit he would be in a bunch of places. I think there's probably 25 teams, when they hear the name Jameis Winston, whether you're talking about a starter or a backup, They go, no, we're good. We don't want to get this part of the 30-30 club through 31 interceptions last year. We'll take our shot in the draft. We'll take a shot on another unknown. But I think we've seen enough. Again, he's one of those guys of Jameis Winston where he's destined to be a backup in the NFL somewhere. But I agree with you. It sure as hell not here.
Coming up, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. That's next on The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 30 minutes. Actually, 15 minutes, excuse me.
Yes.
Joe Buck is doing random play-by-play of everyday events. I'm curious to know if you could have any broadcaster follow you around and do play-by-play of your life, who you would pick. Because my answer, I think, will surprise you. We'll do that coming up. We'll also get back to the quarterback situation in the NFL. I want to play for you guys what Marcus Mariota had to say. And someone on the text line says, I think Cam would make a lot of sense in Denver. You are not the only person that thinks that. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit as well. But before we do all that, let's take a trip inside the mind of the machine.
Are you familiar with the website Delish.com?
I've never heard of it before.
Well, I hadn't either until I found out that they ranked the Gatorade flavors. Let's see how well you can do in the top five. Give it a shot.
Lemon, lime, orange, fruit punch, the blue one, Glacier Ice, I believe that is, grape.
I mean, you gave me six, but you did get all five. Glacier Freeze and Cool Blue, is that what you were talking about?
Oh, okay.
Lemon, lime, orange, and fruit punch. Good for you. Have you ever had Blackberry Wave?
I didn't know that Gatorade made that. That sounds like a Powerade flavor.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Glacier Cherry?
I have had that before. Is that the one that's white, but it still tastes like cherry?
Yes, okay. It is.
Yeah, I've had that before.
The worst is, you ever had Arctic Blitz?
I believe so. I don't know. I just look at the colors. I don't really like look at the names of them. Like
see,
I can't
really
tell.
That's an amateur move, because if you look at the colors, you'll be looking for the orange, then you'll get the melon, and then it'll ruin your day. You never had that happen? The melon one's nasty.
No, I've never had melon Gatorade before. I actually am a big Gatorade Powerade person. Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody on road trips kind of has their food, their snack. I am a 2 bags of sunflower seeds Gatorade road trip driver. That is my snack of choice.
I've always been more of a Dr. Pepper, a bag of Ruffles, and a snap into a Slim Jim type kind of road trip.
Everybody's got their own thing. I know a lot of beef jerky people on a road trip. Rob, what's your road trip snack?
I'm actually a jerky guy myself. I go big Dr. Pepper.
64-ouncer?
Fountain.
Can't do that right now.
Don't want the can.
Can't do that right now.
64-ounce.
I'm also not taking a road trip right now.
64-ounce Dr. Pepper sounds like multiple stops at the bathroom and slowing us down.
Well, no. Rob and I are adults, so we can wait until the next stop.
The 64-ounce? How many times? Let's say you drive right now from Kansas City to St. Louis, and you have the 64-ounce. How many times do you stop in to pee?
I'm not chugging it. It's a mellow four-hour drinking event.
Okay, my bad.
I'll stop in Columbia. Okay. Once is the correct answer to that question. We just had on Frank Martin, did we not?
We did.
Who's the better college hoops Frank? Frank Mason or Frank Kaminsky? I believe both National Player of the Year.
I don't think Kaminsky won National Player of the Year.
I think he did.
I don't think so, off the top of my head.
We can keep arguing. Rob, check the internet.
I mean, I'm going to say Frank Kaminsky because he was good enough to lead his team to the Final Four where Frank wasn't good enough to do that.
Damn. And you got the question wrong. We were definitely looking for Frank Mason.
And, I mean, Frank Kaminsky actually, like, is a factor in the NBA and is going to stick for a while, and Frank Mason is not going to be.
What do you think he's averaging? Less than 10 points a game?
I guess he's averaging double digits in the NBA. I couldn't be wrong.
In 2015, Kaminsky was National Player of the Year.
Hey! You like Appleseed Dot?
It was McDermott, then him, in back-to-back years.
How do you like them apples, buddy?
I did not know that.
About better football than Frank. Frank Clark or Frank Gore?
I mean, Frank Gore is going in the Hall of Fame. So.
Hey, it's early for Frank Clark. You don't know.
I don't think Frank Clark's going in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, you don't know. You win 5 Super Bowls. Do you prefer Franks or Brats?
Bratwurst, probably.
You ever had the Brats that have the cheese already inside of them?
I have.
Change your world.
I don't know if it was world-changing, but it was certainly delicious.
It'll change your lunch. Did you see the Rams' new logo?
Not very good. Sounds like something a kid makes.
Lord, it was terrible. And it wasn't bad before. The Rams logo was fine. If you haven't seen it, bring it up because it is bad. Who's got the best logo in all of sports? The Jayhawk?
No, they are not in the top logo.
How about the Celtic guy? He's smoking a pipe.
No, not him either.
How many other logos are smoking a pipe?
Not many.
Blackhawks?
I'll go old school Tampa Bay with the pirate with the knife in his mouth.
Not a pipe, though.
Best or most iconic?
Best.
Like, the most iconic's the U.
The U is a great logo. The Buffalo Sabre, that's a great logo.
I like the Red Wings logo.
How about the Brewers glove? That if you look really close, it says MB for Milwaukee Brewers. If you didn't know, that's what MB stood for.
I really like the old Raptors logo.
I'm trying to think of it.
The dinosaur logo?
The one, the T-Rex.
Yeah, I really like that one.
All the jerseys from back then were awesome. The Memphis Grizzlies uniforms.
Those uniforms.
Or the Vancouver
terrible.
Grizzlies. No, those were great.
Those are terrible uniforms.
The Atlanta Hawks, like the giant hawk that's flying across. Ka-caw! The Summer Olympics have been officially postponed. Who's the more famous U.S. summer athlete, Michael Phelps or Carl Lewis?
Michael Phelps.
I mean, I feel like the answer is both just because they were in two completely different eras and generations. I'll go Carl Lewis just because I think it was fewer famous people during that time.
Hey, see if you can get us Carl Lewis singing the national anthem. That'll provide about 30 seconds of entertainment. As bad as I've ever heard. All right, who's the more famous summer Olympian on the female side, Simone Biles or Jackie Joyner-Kersee?
Kind of the same concept. I'll go Flo-Jo.
I think Flo-Jo is the sister or cousin of Jackie Joyner-Kersee. Flo-Jo is amazing.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. My bad.
Do you remember Dan and Dave?
I have no clue who that is.
They were like part of some McDonald's commercial. You guys are both looking at me like I got two heads. It was around the era of the Dream Team, and both these dudes like got huge contracts from McDonald's because one of them was a triathlete, one of them was something else. And I want to say neither one of them or both of them ended up not making the Olympic team. McDonald's put like a bunch of money in these guys. They were America's next best hope. And they you don't have no idea what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I was four when the Dream Team happened, so I don't really remember the advertising scene back in those days.
That's fair, but I'm sure you remember the Dream Team.
I do remember the Dream Team.
Let's test your Dream Team knowledge. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, including Christian Laettner, who obviously was in college at the time, but for some reason they took one college player. He was on the team.
Player of the year. That's why he got picked.
He was an amazing college player.
Well, you don't have to tell me that. Let's see how many of the Dream Team you can get off the top of your head.
Barkley, David Robinson, Karl Malone.
Karl Malone.
Magic, Bird, Jordan, Pippen. Chris Mullin was on that team. Stockton's on that team.
You're doing incredible. You got two left.
Ewing's on that team.
One more. Probably the most difficult one. He's the most obscure, but still a Hall of Famer.
I can't think.
Is it Clyde?
Clyde Drexler.
Clyde is on that team.
We're a team, boys.
Clyde is on that
team. We're a team here on the
drive.
Right. Clyde
is on that
team. I was hoping he'd get there.
No, Clyde was on that team.
What's crazy is Isaiah Thomas was not on the team. And we were talking about documentaries. There's a documentary about he didn't get along with, was it Magic or Jordan? Somebody decided to keep his ass off the team.
Jordan said, the speculation is Jordan told the U.S. Olympic team that he would not play if Isaiah was on the team because the Bad Boys Pistons used to terrorize Michael Jordan. That's the rumor.
They've never
confirmed it, but that's what people believe.
Before we get outside the mind of the machine, celebrity birthdays this week. Rob, you're up. Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy's 65.
Nah, he's not that old. Eddie Murphy, 58.
He's 59. Randy Orton.
I have no frame of reference for how old Randy Orton is. 43.
I was going to say 35.
40. We'll split the difference. Alec Baldwin, Rob.
Alec Baldwin's in his 60s. I'll say he's 67.
Got caught with 30 rocks. The cop looked like Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin. 62.
Give the man his money. 62 years old, Alec Baldwin. You are now outside the mind of the machine.
Coming up on the other side, we will debut a new game. We'll play that coming up in the next segment. And Joe Buck is going around doing random play-by-play of regular life. If you could have any broadcaster follow you around and do play-by-play of your existence, who would you pick? My answer will surprise you. We'll do that next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll be joined by Lawrence Smith. Lawrence Smith is a Kansas City resident, that tested positive for the coronavirus. We'll talk to Lawrence Smith about his story and what he's been going through over the last couple of days. Lawrence Smith will join us on the show coming up at 4 o'clock. Again, he tested positive for the coronavirus and lives here in the Kansas City area. So, I don't know if you guys have heard this or not, but Joe Buck is out of work. And he is looking for things to do. So one thing he is doing to try to spread some good nature and cheer is he is having people send him videos and he is doing random play-by-play of what's going on in their lives. Here's an example.
Michelle on the left is trying to prepare dinner. Wyatt on the right fighting back a yawn, dressed like kind of a half-assed Fred Flintstone.
You do want to watch Blippi?
And he wants to watch Blippi, folks. Oh, and he's hit his mom. He has hit his mom. Mom is playing it up. Wyatt is crying. All hell is broken loose inside this house. Quarantine day 7.
So Joe Buck is trying to pass the time with no sports by trying to spread a little good nature and good cheer. My question to you is, text line 69306. If you could have one announcer follow you around and do play-by-play of your life, who would you select? I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say that not many of you are going to pick Joe Buck. That not many of you are going to go on the limb and say, hey, you know what? I'd love to have Joe Buck follow me around and remind me of the loss we had in the 2014 World Series. I hate that guy, and I hate Madison Bumgarner. So let's just go ahead and throw him off the list. Sports Machine Sean Levine, if you could have one play-by-play broadcaster follow you around and give play-by-play of your life, who would you pick?
Based on my actual lifestyle? Because the word bang could come up quite a bit, so I'm thinking Mike Breen. But I don't know, Kevin Harlan, maybe right between the eyes, or Gus Johnson. I want Gus Johnson to be the voice of me under quarantine.
Rob, who are you picking to do play-by-play of your life and follow you around Joe Buck style?
The answer is Mike Breen. I push buttons for a living, y'all. So if I hit a button, I nail it. I just want to hear bang in the background. That'd be great.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and throw a curveball you guys maybe weren't expecting. The person I would pick.
Midcourt loses it. Stolen. And a foul on Marcus. Oh, they call it intentional foul.
Intentional foul.
Oh, my goodness. He just reached down. They're calling it an intentional foul. The same guy that called the palming the ball. What in the world?
I'm in shock. Marcus reached out trying to get the ball back. They call intentional foul.
How can that possibly be an intentional foul?
If I could have any broadcaster follow me around and do play-by-play of my life, I would pick Bob Davis. Of all the people I've met in this profession, and I've met a lot of really cool people, the two nicest people I've ever met were Rex Hudler and Bob Davis. I don't know if you guys have had the honor of meeting Bob Davis. He's an angel. He makes Chick-fil-A employees seem mean. If I could pick any broadcaster to follow me around and do regular play-by-play of my life, I would pick Bob Davis. Now, I'm picking Royals Bob Davis. I ain't picking KU Bob Davis. Royals Bob Davis was a very special treat. He had a way of making normal fly balls from Michael Tucker or Mark Tehan feel like they were home runs. He had a special way of bringing you in and really making you appreciate those 100 lost Royals teams. I'm picking Bob Davis.
What's your problem with KU Bob Davis?
No, he's a little he's a little too excited for me, and that's normally when I didn't like Bob Davis. Like, I wasn't the biggest Bob Davis fan during KU time, but Royals Bob Davis, oh, he's my favorite. I love Royals Bob Davis.
Throw Ron Jaworski in there, not for the broadcaster, but for nicest guys we've ever had on. Ron Jaworski was just a super nice guy.
Super nice.
Phone didn't work like 4 different times. He was like, it's all good, call my cell phone, whatever you ever got to do. But Bob, first of all, you would consider Denny Matthews a personal friend of yours, right?
I love Denny Matthews.
The voice of the Royals, he's actually, Carrington of Friends.
He's actually coming on the show tomorrow.
He is?
He is coming on the show tomorrow.
Looking forward to it. Well, I'm going to try to one-up you. I've got 2 hours and 20-something minutes. If you want Bob Davis to be the voice of Carrington under quarantine, I could probably do that for you. Bob Davis is a personal friend of mine. I didn't know that was going to be your answer, so I'll see what I can do. If we can flag down Bob, I have no idea what he's doing. Maybe he's under quarantine himself. But, Bob's my guy.
I like Bob Davis a lot.
Bob
Davis wants to come on the show and talk about the 2008 Kansas Jayhawks, I'd be very happy to have Bob Davis on the show. But, yeah, if I could pick anybody to be the play-by-play voice of my life, I think I would pick Bob Davis. I love Bob Davis. Hopefully that he's staying healthy, and I hope that he's doing really, really well right now. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll be joined by Lawrence Smith. He is a Kansas City native who tested positive for the coronavirus. He will tell his story on the show coming up at 4 o'clock. Let's get back to sports and talk some NFL. Dan Orlowski thinks that the Chargers should sign Cam Newton.
If you're the Chargers and you want to draft a young quarterback, you can still do that and sign Cam Newton, because if you get any type of 2018 version of Cam Newton, all of a sudden, you're a contender. And I promise you this, Greeny. You know who doesn't want the Chargers to sign Cam Newton? The Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, the Buffalo Bills, because they see it the same way. I promise you, they're sitting there thinking, man, if that Chargers team, led by Bosa and Derwin James, if they get that player, if they get 2018 Cam Newton, we now have another team in the AFC that we're going to have to contend with.
So that was Dan Orlowski today on the Get Up. You and I both have kind of looked at Cam Newton's market and are really curious to see where he's going to end up. I don't think that there's too many teams left if he's going to be a starter. The Chargers potentially, but they've kind of made it known, at least through reports, that they're happy with Tyrod Taylor, and they have the sixth overall pick. Miami, they have the fifth overall pick. Let's see what they do with their quarterback situation. They've got Rosen. They've got Fitzpatrick. Are they going to throw Cam in the mix and release one of those guys? We'll certainly see. I also think that Jacksonville would make a lot of sense. They got rid of Nick Foles, Gardner Minshew. He's a sixth-round draft pick, and let's not make it seem like he lit the world on fire last year. I do think it would make a lot of sense for them to bring in some competition for Cam Newton or for Gardner Minshew.
If he ends up in Jacksonville, though, then you've got a quarterback controversy right away. Not just in-house, but the fan base. Half the people are going to get behind Minshew and his mustache. Half the people are going to go, what, we got Cam Newton? That's not going to be good. Miami, you could kind of have the same scenario, assuming that they're going to spend the number 5 overall pick probably on Tua. Then how quick do you play Tua? Do you sit him behind Ryan Fitzpatrick? Do you bring in Cam Newton for a year and have a Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith type situation? That could work out, I suppose. But there are a couple teams that you mentioned that don't have good quarterback options right now, and that's the Chargers and that's New England. If you're the Chargers and you're Cam Newton, the problem with that is a guy named Patrick Mahomes, and you got to play him twice a year, and you're probably not going to win the division based simply on the fact that he's there, which brings us back to New England. I think if New England was to get a healthy Cam Newton, they'd be the second best team in the AFC behind the Chiefs. I genuinely believe that. Even more so than the maybe Baltimore would have a better record. I think they'd probably be around like the 10-6, 11-5 range, both of them. But if you told me that I knew, and of course we don't know, that Cam Newton was going to be healthy, and you put him with Bill Belichick and that defense, I think the Patriots would be the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC.
I just look at Cam Newton right now, and going back to Jacksonville for just a little bit, I don't know if Gardner Minshew has done enough that he just deserves to be handed the job.
That now, mustache,
if,
though.
Now, if he goes out there and wins the job, then sure, you take him. He won the job, but I don't know if Gardner did enough. I do think we came to the point with Nick Foles that because I don't think there was a big gap between Minshew and Nick Foles, that I think you move forward with Gardner Minshew and then you move on from Nick Foles. But are you want to be in a situation where you put all your eggs in the same basket when it comes to Gardner Minshew? So to me, Cam in that scenario would make a lot of sense. You let the best man win out the job, and I think you give Gardner a little bit of the edge because he's the younger, and in this case, he'd be the cheaper player, being a mid-round draft pick and is 24 years old, still on his rookie deal. But I don't think competition in Jacksonville is a bad thing.
Then why do you think they got rid of Nick Foles? They had competition.
I mean, his contract was one of the worst in the NFL. That I don't know if that's going to be the case with Cam Newton's contract, and a team was willing to take on that deal. That if you're, I mean, let's be honest. Jacksonville made a mistake. Like, the Nick Foles contract for them is bad.
That blew up quick.
So if you're telling me that a team's going to let you out of your mistake, and instead of continuing to compound your mistake, hey, we'll take on the contract, and basically you spent $30 million on a lost year with Nick Foles, and you don't have to pay the rest of the money. That's why they got rid of Nick Foles.
Well, you know what happened? It was the Austin Eckler, Melvin Gordon situation, where when you're out, you don't want your backup to perform. And the backup came in, Gardner Minshew, and I'm with you. He wasn't great, but he was good enough for them to go, okay, this is an option who's 50 times cheaper right now when it comes to the contract of Nick Foles. Maybe we'll throw him out there. So they did have competition last year. I don't know if that's what they're looking for necessarily in Jacksonville, because if you ask me, who's a better option at quarterback? An unproven six-round draft pick that was a rookie last year with a sweet mustache, Gardner Minshew, who pretty much burned out the second half of the season, or Cam Newton, who 5 years ago was the MVP, had his team at 15-1, and just 2 years ago threw 30 touchdown passes? I'm going to take my chances on Cam Newton.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll be joined by Lawrence Smith. He's a Kansas City native who tested positive for the coronavirus. While we're staying in the AFC West and talking quarterbacks, Marcus Mariota had his first availability with the media as a member of the Las Vegas Raiders.
First and foremost, this is Derek's team, and I understand that. I understand that going in. And like I said, I think, for me, my priority going into free agency was to be a part of a team that I felt could bring out the best in me. And whatever happens, whatever comes of that, I'm ready for it. But I do know that to play starting quarterback in the NFL, to be at that spot, is not an easy job to do. And I think when it comes down to it, a strong, stable, supportive quarterback room makes that job a whole lot easier, and that's what we have to do. And
so that's Marcus Mariota meeting with the media. He says that the Raiders are still Derek Carr's team. I don't know if that's the case. I think it's going to be a true open quarterback competition. I was reading a story a couple days ago. Marcus Mariota was actually the number one player on Mike Mayock's board when he was back at NFL Network and doing all the draft stuff. So Mayock is incredibly high on Marcus Mariota. I would have to imagine that John Gruden is also very high on him as well. I don't think they've ever really given us reason to believe that they're both really high on Derek Carr. So going into this season, if Mariota wins the job and if you're the Las Vegas Raiders, you can just always get out of the contract. I know he's saying the right thing there, but his contract is structured in such a way that if something goes left for Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota takes over by week five, you can take a firm grab on that quarterbacking job. So again, he's playing it right. He's being very diplomatic, but I don't think Las Vegas is Derek Carr's team right now.
I think there's a chance that Mayock and Gruden are high on OG Kush. What the hell are they doing? Why would you bring in Marcus Mariota? The last 3 years, 31 touchdowns, 25 interceptions, and now they're paying their quarterback position. And last I checked, there's usually only one of those guys on the field at a time. $34 million. So Derek Carr is going to get $25 million. Marcus Mariota is going to get $9 million. So they're paying more than every single team's paying their quarterback except for five teams in the NFL, and they're getting bottom five production. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
I don't really think this is a bad play for Mariota. I actually think it makes a lot of sense kind of what they're doing when it comes to Marcus Mariota and kind of giving themselves a little bit of flexibility. I'll be really curious to see how they play the NFL draft, or if we start to hear some rumblings as we get closer to the draft that Derek Carr could potentially be moved. Like, let's not make it seem like all the free agent moves and all the free agent acquisitions are done. You remember, the Chiefs didn't trade for Frank Clark until the end or right towards the NFL draft was going to happen. We haven't seen any draft pick get traded yet, and I feel pretty strongly that's going to happen. Like, I think the two is going to go number three overall, and I don't think he's going to the Detroit Lions. So there's still, I would say, maybe four or five significant moves that are going to happen between now and the NFL draft. Derek Carr could be one of them, the way his contract is structured.
And if he gets traded, you think Marcus Mariota is the guy they're rolling with next year as their starter?
I think so.
Think about that. So we've got Patrick Mahomes. The Raiders are going to go with Marcus Mariota. The Chargers, as of right now, are going to go with Tyrod Taylor. And Denver's going to go with Drew Locke. It doesn't really matter where you went to school or what your opinion is on Drew Locke. If the other division quarterbacks outside of Patrick Mahomes are Tyrod Taylor and Marcus Mariota, then he's the second best behind Pat, and it's not even close.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Lawrence Smith. He's a Kansas City relative that has tested positive for the coronavirus. We'll also play some cuts from Ryan Russillo. I was listening to his podcast earlier today, and I thought he had a lot of fun to say. So I've come up with the game.
Oh, good.
It is a very simple game. Rob, if you can't hit me with some music, we will play a very simple game that you guys might call it toss-up. I have labeled it this or that. Are you ready to play?
Yeah. Is it anything like Connect Four?
No, it is not anything like Connect Four, which is a checkers board game. I'm basically going to give you two things. You pick between the two things. Very creative game. These are all food options. As food is on the forefront of everyone's mind, I feel like eating is the only thing we can do right now. Grilled cheese sandwich or a PBJ? This or that? A grilled cheese sandwich or a PBJ?
A PBJ, if made the right way, is incredible, even as an adult. Let me explain to you the right way. The right way is to toast the bread, to put on a little bit of actual butter, not any of this, I can't believe it's not butter, actual butter, and then chunky peanut butter, and then the jelly, and then put it together and take a giant bite out of it. It's phenomenal. A grilled cheese is essentially just cheese on bread, and that's it. Now, if you're an adult, you should probably find something better to eat. I don't know, like PBJ. So this one's not even close. It's PBJ.
You're right. It's not even close, but you're way off. Grilled cheese all day. There's so many cheeses you can choose from. PBJ is always just two options.
Never had jam. Never had smooth peanut butter. Never had crunchy. Never had extra peanuts.
You got like four options in
toasted,
the PBJ
untoasted.
World.
Toasted, untoasted. You can cut it in squares. Options. You can cut it diagonally. Grilled I just cheese. Gave you 15 options.
Grilled cheese, dip it in tomato soup. Life's great.
I'm on sports machine side here.
And there's no tomato soup in this.
A grilled cheese is peak poverty.
Childlike.
I don't know about you guys, but times were never hard where we didn't have any lunch meat at the crib. We maybe didn't have the finest meats, but we at least had some bologna. We at least had some turkey breast. We at least had something. Grilled cheese is gross. I can't believe that people all they want. Like, I don't know about you guys, but the best part of the sandwich is whatever meat is on the sandwich. That's
cut
the best
that
part to
meat.
Me. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know about you guys. The best part of the Big Mac is not the lettuce. It's not the special sauce. It's the meat part of it. So why would I want a sandwich that is missing the best part? PB&J, it's not even close. I'm taking that. Moving on.
Did you say bologna? I would rather have grilled cheese over bologna.
I'd much rather have, just make me a regular bologna sandwich.
Nasty.
And let me get a little bit of cheese, and then let me put some mustard on it. I might even put my mustard in like a little smiley face just to kind of dress it up. You got to dress up the poverty meal.
I'm about to throw up in my mouth. That sounds terrible.
I mean, you still eat poverty meals. You still eat kid cuisine.
I might, but I don't eat bologna, and I haven't since 1989.
I wouldn't eat bologna either. I'm just saying when I was a 9-year-old kid, bologna wasn't that bad.
Nasty.
You're right. As a 31-year-old, man, times ain't that hard where I gotta eat bologna. Times might be hard for some of you out there like that, and I feel really bad, and let me know your Cash App and I'll send you some money so you can go to the grocery store and get real meat. But I'm not eating bologna today.
I'm not
saying, as a kid, I love bologna.
I don't like bologna. I'm saying as an adult, I don't think my body will let me digest bologna. I think if I put it in my mouth, it's gonna be like bubble yum. I'm gonna chew it up for a while and spit it out.
Moving on in this or that. So you're at the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have a frosty malt or a frozen lemonade? You're at Kauffman Stadium, back when we could go outside and go to sporting events and be around people.
Oh, those were the days.
Oh, my goodness. We didn't know how good we had it when you could do all of those things. Frosty malt or lemonade at the ballpark?
Refresh my memory. Was lemonade, woo. Was that just lemonade or was that frozen lemonade?
That man was out there selling everything you needed. Lemonade was the way to get you in the tent, but he was serving peanuts. He was serving the frozen. He was whatever you needed. My man Luis, I believe that was his name, he was happy to serve.
Well, I think you're making up the name, but either way, the story might or may not be true. The correct answer to the question is the frozen lemonade, whether it is Luis and whether you're making it up or not, because the problem with the frosty malt, as good as it is, once that little wooden spoon breaks, you're screwed. You're done. Or you're giving yourself splinters for a couple of innings until it starts dripping, which doesn't take long either on a 104-degree summer day in Kansas City. Then you got it on the shorts, and then you got to go to the team store and buy some Royal shorts, and they cost $74. So I don't want anything to do with the Frosty Malt.
Rob, where are you at? Frosty Malt or frozen lemonade at the game?
Lemonade's correct. He's also correct on the logic outside of the shorts thing. That frozen malt had that wooden stick. If you get a small bite, it tastes like you're the doctor with a little, you know, popsicle thing in your mouth. I don't want that in my life. Frozen lemonade.
We're all on the same page here. That stick is what changes it.
Yeah.
If you're telling me frosty malt and frozen lemonade with the regular plastic spoon, I'm on team frosty malt. But if you're telling me I got to take that thing and you're right, it tastes like the doctor's office? Come on now. I don't need that.
How have they not upgraded that part of the Frosty Malt? How is it the exact same product that it was 30 years ago and they haven't decided, you know, like for example, Fun Dip. At some point, Fun Dip probably just had a spoon and you dipped it in the stuff. And then they were like, you know what? I got a good idea. Let's make the actual spoon a piece of sugar also. But no, not the shake at the ballpark, the old wooden spoon.
Moving on in this or that. You're at the movie theater. Would you rather have popcorn and a drink or nachos and candy? You're at the movie theater. Would you rather have popcorn and a drink, which I think, if I can remember the days of going to the movie theater, was $27, or nachos plus candy, which was also $27?
Yeah, they're both expensive options. I have questions, though. Can I put as much butter as I want on my popcorn?
Yes, you can control the popcorn.
Okay, and instead of the drink, can I get...
No, you get a drink.
Can I get an icy, though?
No, you get a regular soda.
I see my movies at Ward Parkway. Can I get an icy?
No, you get a soda in this.
Okay, well, in that case, I'm going to get the nachos and the snow caps, specifically, with jalapenos, the nachos. Then I'm going to pull a Rob Brenton move. I'm going to order a water, and since they've got a self-dispensing soda machine, I'm going to get a Sprite. So there, I still got my drink. I'm going to get the nachos and the snow caps. What say you, Rob?
Popcorn and drink is the answer. And you want a little salty and spicy? Put some jalapenos in the popcorn.
You don't game-changing do that.
It's 100% I do that.
You nasty pun.
Game-changing move. Popcorn and drink all day.
Are you pregnant or something? That sounds terrible.
I don't know if there is a better trio than good movie theater popcorn, your drink of choice, and a fine cinematic experience. I'm choosing that over just about anything. That's a great 1-2-3 punch. I'm picking popcorn and a drink.
I mean, I can think of like 100 things off the top of my head that I would rather do, but the fact that nobody's gone outside for a couple of days and looks like we're not going to it for a long time, I would love to be in a movie theater with other human beings and fill up my soda and eat popcorn. But probably not going to be able to do that for a while.
Going back to the candy aisle. You have Skittles. You have Starburst. This or that. Skittles or Starburst?
I'm going to go with Starburst, although you introduced me to the all-red package of Starburst a few months ago.
Very, very tasty.
And it completely changed everything. I didn't know that I could go with all-red because we've all opened the pack of Starburst and we're like, what the hell? Orange? Yellow? Orange again? I think I speak for all of Kansas City and all of humanity when I say the only Starbursts that are worth a damn are the pink and the red in that specific order.
Preach.
And Skittles are just okay, so I think this one's pretty obvious. Thanks for asking, though. The correct answer is Starburst.
I'm taking the Skittles for two reasons. One, quantity. I can get more Skittles one purchase than I can get Starburst. And two, you're right. Yellow Starbursts are such trash, I don't want that in my life. Give me Skittles.
The only yellow candy that's good are Runts. The banana Runt. And it might be the best of all of the runs. That's it. The rest of the yellow candy sucks. You ever had yellow Laffy Taffy?
I have.
Tastes like the sole of an Adidas shoe.
If we're going regular Skittles versus regular Starburst, I'm taking the Skittles.
Are you really?
If we're going all their variations, like sour Skittles, tropical Starburst, all red Starburst, I'm going Starburst.
So you're
going
to taste the rainbow. I don't want to taste the rainbow. I want to taste the red and the pink.
Because you're right. To me, the Starburst, I mean, 50% of the Starburst is bad.
Yes. Like,
out of the whole wrapper, I love the red. I like the pink. I can stand the orange. The lemon is absolutely terrible.
I actually think it's 60%. So if 3 out of 5 suck, 60%, so more than half of what you can grab you don't want? Maybe you're making a point here. Maybe the correct answer is Skittles.
People are asking you, what about Lemonheads? Are those a good yellow candy?
Good call, text line. See, that's why I need you guys. Yeah, Lemonhead actually is a great candy.
Are you counting M&M's as a yellow candy?
Do they make yellow M&M's?
They do make yellow M&M's.
Where the hell have I been? They make yellow M&M's?
They make yellow Reese's Pieces, too.
Aren't those just
too.
The peanut ones? Or yeah, the commercial
but
the yellow
have,
guy.
They have yeah. yellow color ones.
So if I was to open a regular pack of M&M's, I couldn't get a yellow, but if I opened a peanut pack of M&M's, I could? Is that what you're trying to tell me, Rob?
There's yellow on both.
Okay, well. The green ones are the best because they taste a little bit different.
Coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll be joined by Lawrence Smith. He tested positive for the coronavirus. We were talking about Cam Newton. Someone on the text line says, what about Denver? They actually talked about that on the Ryan Russillo podcast this morning.
I would also say, I mean, are we totally sure? Why wouldn't, if something crazy happens, why wouldn't the Broncos try to at least create some competition for Drew Locke?
And my thinking is always, if anybody's going to be really good, they're just going to be really good.
I actually am okay with quarterback competitions. I'm in your camp where if Drew Locke gets beat out by a unhealthy Cam Newton, then Drew Locke's not the guy you need to commit the next 10 years to. That's the question you should always be asking yourself with a quote-unquote franchise quarterback. Is are you going to commit to him for the foreseeable future? And I think the only way you find that out is little steps like, can he beat out a guy we took a flyer on?
I think in theory, Cam Newton would make a lot of sense in Denver. Sort of the same philosophy I was talking about with Gardner Minshew, that I don't know if Drew Locke has done enough to just commandeer that job and not bring any competition in. But I do think we live in a different time, especially with the rookie cap when it comes to quarterbacks, that if you're the Broncos, you don't have a whole lot of investment in Drew Locke. And if you sign Cam Newton, I assume you're signing him to a cheap one-year deal, that there isn't really a situation where he's going to be a clear starter. So you sell him on the idea of, hey, come in here. This is an upgraded roster, and you got a chance to come in here and compete. I do think, in theory, Cam would make a little bit of sense for the Broncos. I would just be surprised, especially given the fact that Elway has liked Drew Locke for as long as he did. Like, if you follow the Missouri Tigers, John Elway has liked Drew Locke for 3 years. Like, he was coming to Missouri games when he was a sophomore in college. His junior year, he was always at Columbia watching and scouting Drew Locke. If you think about how they played it in the draft, like, they kind of penciled in that they wanted Drew Locke to be their starting quarterback and let the draft fall and kept taking value, and then they eventually selected and got Drew Locke. I think that the Broncos are enamored with Drew, that even though it makes some sense on paper, I'd be really stunned to see Cam end up in Denver.
I think that he might want an established quarterback as the only thing, because you're talking about John Elway. He has not had success outside of Peyton Manning, if you think about it. Tim Tebow didn't work out. Paxton Lynch didn't work out. Brock Osweiler didn't work out. Case Keenum, I wouldn't say was that proven, didn't work out. I could keep going. I think Trevor Siemian didn't work out. Like, they've tried a lot of different things. I think that they want it to work out with Drew Locke, but it would certainly be enticing for Cam Newton. The problem is, wouldn't that stunt the growth of Drew Locke right away? I mean, last year he was, what, 4-1 as a starter. His only loss was against the Chiefs, and he looks clearly like not a threat to the division because Patrick Mahomes is in the division, but I think he's clearly the second-best quarterback in a very unproven quarterback division. And all of a sudden, after that early success, you're going to, what, sit him down and make him back up to Cam Newton? That's not a good way to start your career.
I don't think you're sitting him down. I think you just let him you throw them both out there, and then the best man wins the job.
Well, then Cam's an $18 million backup. I don't know if that's the best option either.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just kind of the system. I also don't think Cam Newton's going to make $18 million at this point. I don't really think the market's there for Cam Newton. Like, I think you get Cam for kind of cheap now at this point. So, I mean, I do understand the logic of Cam being a backup in Denver. I just don't think that it makes a lot of sense, just given what we know about the Broncos. Coming up, we'll be joined by Lawrence Smith. He is a Kansas City native who tested positive for the coronavirus. He will tell us his story. That's coming up. It's The Drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.